Thank you for joining me this afternoon. I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Jose Romero with the Department of Health. And I wanted to go through the latest daily report from our Department of Health on our COVID cases. And then I want to follow this by a couple of announcements today. And of course, we will be happy to take your questions. First, let's look at the latest statistical information. This is not a good day in terms of our COVID cases. Over the last 24 hours, we've had an additional 2,843 new COVID cases in Arkansas. That increases our active cases by over 1,400, and we've had 11 additional deaths of Arkansans because of COVID-19. I would emphasize that that number, 2,843, is one of the largest days that we've seen since the pandemic started. It's not as high as we've had. I think we had one day that was over 4,000. But this is a stress point for us, knowing that that's going to lead to additional hospitalizations down the road. In terms, let's look down at the bottom on our hospital data. We have nine fewer in the hospitalized today, which is good news, but I've never seen this number of consecutive days in which hospitalizations has increased without some going down. And this is the first day it's gone down, and with the increase in cases, I have no doubt it's going to go up some more. Currently on ventilators is 10 additional on ventilators in Arkansas. And then if you look at the testing, of course, goes up with the increased risk in our society. The new cases, Pulaski, Washington, Benton, large number of new cases in each county. We're watching very carefully the correctional facilities, and that's good. Whenever we have 48 cases, they're taking a lot of precautions there. Hopefully we can keep those cases down. In the vaccination, we have 19. Let's just look at the doses given is the number that's most important. 10,000 doses given over the last 24 hours. Again, as the urgency continues, as the COVID conversations continue, we see the doses given and the acceptance of the vaccine going up, and we hope that that continues. And so with that, let's go to the next one. I want to make a couple other observations before I make the announcement today. This is the percent of overall hospitalizations, ICU admissions, and ventilated patients positive for COVID-19. So if you look here at the first one, and the darker color is last year, July 29th of 2020 is the darker color, and this is a year later in the lighter color. So those that are hospitalized, the percent hospitalizations positive for COVID-19, we did have this time last year 7.5% of our hospital beds were occupied by COVID patients. Today it's 14.8%. If you look at the ICU admissions, a year ago it was 24.7%. Today it's 35.2% that are COVID admissions using ICU beds. If you look at those on ventilators, it was 27%. That's up to 53% for COVID. Now, I would add that this goes back to July of last year, which was not the height of our previous cases and hospitalizations, but it is still helpful for comparative purposes. The next one is different because this compares January of 2021 in the dark, which is really the height of when we were in the first surge of our virus, with July of 2021, which is in the lighter. And so this is broken down by age group. And so 0 to 17 years of age, in January of 19, when we had more hospitalizations and really more cases, we had fewer 0 to 17 that were hospitalized because of COVID. 18 to 29, you can see even a more serious jump. 30 to 39, going from 2.3 to 3.5%. 40 to 49, you can see it going up. And then you see it leveling off and then going down in the older age group, which represents a population that has been more highly vaccinated. But this is the concern, is in the lower age groups, 0 to 17, 18 to 29, 30 to 39, those are the ages that we're worried about not getting sufficiently vaccinated and are leading to hospitalizations in some cases. And then, let's see, we've got this one is should be considered the good news and the motivator, and that is that the vaccination status of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. On the left side is the cases, and the dark are the vaccinated. So of all the cases, 3.61% of all of our cases have been vaccinated. 96.3% have not been vaccinated, that represent the 2,843 cases. If you look at hospitalizations, it's 95% have not been vaccinated. If you look at the deaths, 97% have not been vaccinated. That should be an encouragement to anybody who's concerned about their health and their community to get vaccinated. The odds, the risk, if you evaluate the risk, that's what it leads to that conclusion. And so with that, let me come back to a comment, and that is we are in a public health emergency. And for that reason, I am reinstating the statewide public health emergency as of today. I've signed the proclamation for the public health emergency declaration, which will extend for 60 days. Yes, this has to be reviewed by the General Assembly. It is in effect today. The emergency is in effect today, but they will be able to convene as a committee of the whole to review that. But I am declaring that emergency today. The reason for it is we are in a public health emergency. Anytime you're having staffing shortages in the hospital, whenever today we have, I believe it is, four COVID patients that are waiting in ambulances to be able to find a hospital to go to, that constitutes an emergency and a public health crisis. I'm also adopting this proclamation for a public health emergency for two specific reasons for actions. And one is for Adam to seek necessary staffing assistance in our healthcare programs across Arkansas through our interstate compact. That's the emergency assistance compact that we can ask from other states. And the second reason for it is to ease licensure of healthcare professions for returning to the profession after they have retired, that they can reenter, or to speed entry into service. And we're looking at a number of different specific actions. I'm directing our Department of Health to take the steps necessary to ease that licensure even more so that we can increase our staffing in the hospitals and for those that are in need. Finally, I have spoken to the White House today, and I've asked for assistance at the federal level to come to Arkansas to help us to evaluate, to analyze our situation with our bed capacity for COVID patients. And they're sending the surge response team here to Arkansas, which helps us to evaluate, to strategize, and to maximize our current hospital space in Arkansas. We welcome that level of expertise that might be of assistance to us. And then the second announcement is related to the issue that I'm very concerned about, which is the children in our school systems that are 12 and under that are not eligible to be vaccinated. Everyone else, it's a decision that can be made with their parents or individually, that the answer to the public health concerns is simply to get vaccinated. But when you're looking at that 12 and under, they can't get vaccinated because they're not eligible, it hasn't been approved for them. And so right now we have a prohibition that's enacted by statute, which is Act 1002, that prohibits the local school districts from making local decisions on what they should do public health-wise in their school system. So I will be calling a special session of the legislature, most likely next week, to amend Act 1002 to give local school boards, local decision makers, the authority to make a decision for the public health of those that are 12 and under, or their entire school environment. But I'm particularly concerned about those that are in that age category. I have consulted with Speaker Shepherd and Senate Pro Tem Hickey, and they have expressed to me that it's going to be a heavy lift to get passage of this in the legislature, but I have confidence that as the legislature looks at this, they will understand, one, that it's a conservative principle to utilize local decision making, and not everything fits statewide, and then secondly, that this is necessary really for providing local school boards the ability to protect those most vulnerable young people, 12 and under, as they go to school, and we all want to have school in that environment. I would mention in that particular point that the Arkansas Children's Hospital has currently 24 adolescents, young people in the Children's Hospital as a result of COVID. Two of those are on a vent, five are in ICU. None of those have been fully immunized, but just as importantly, 12 of the 24 that are in Arkansas Children's Hospital are under 12 and not eligible to be vaccinated. And that makes the point that they need to be protected first by decisions of their parents, and then secondly, by school board if they decide to take action in that regard. Let me emphasize something at this point so that it's not lost in the discussion. There will be no statewide mask mandate imposed by me, and the legislature, of course, has made that clear as well. This is not about a debate about mask mandates for those that can make their own decisions and have means to get vaccinated. This is a discussion about the school environment where schools can make decisions to add to the public health for their own school environment and for the children that they have a responsibility to protect. There's no discussion about restrictions on business, mandates on businesses. We are wide open in Arkansas. We're going to be doing business in Arkansas. We've got to we have to live with the threat of the virus, the increase in vaccinations, but also we've got to continue to do business, provide for our families, and there's not going to be those kind of restrictions here in this state. Everyone knows what to do, and the guidelines are in place. This is all about the children and their health. And with that, Dr. Romero, I didn't leave much for you, but he's here if you need any questions that are asked. With that, I'll turn it open for any questions you might have.
On the session, my understanding is, have you been told that the votes are not there even for a simple majority at this point for the mandate?
No, I've not been told that. They simply said we got some work to do, we intend to do this. But this is an example where, you know, the legislature has clearly indicated that they wanted to be more involved in managing a pandemic, and this is part of that responsibility. And so, I make a decision on the emergency, but they will have a chance to review it. I will ask them to make a modification of the previous ban so that we can protect our children. But they're going to have to act in terms of the legislation to either accept or reject that. I hope that they accept it for the health of our children. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Well, I made an emergency decision last March, I believe it was March 11 of 2020, that I declared an emergency in Arkansas for public health reason, and that emergency extended, I believe, all the way through April of this year. and when the cases were very low. As now we see the cases escalating, I have redeclared that emergency.
Legislation doesn't pass with an emergency clause, I guess it wouldn't go into effect for 90 days, which would not be soon enough for the school year. Is there any way to get around that?
Well, first of all, I certainly hope that emergency clause can be passed, but regardless whether it can or not, it's important to give this modification so we have local control, that we correct the Act 1002. And that will give a great deal of relief and understanding in our school districts that they have the flexibility that's needed, even though it might be delayed for the time for that law to come into effect.
Have any discussions with school districts in the state kind of catapulted your decision to call for this special session?
You know, I've talked to a lot of school superintendents. I spoke this week to the superintendents, the education administrators, and by and large, I hear from them, one, that they're ready, excited about the school year. Secondly, they would like to have local decision-making authority and so that they can take whatever action they deem appropriate for their children. Now, I'm fully convinced that many districts in the state will not impose any mask mandate, even given the authority, because they might be in a low spread area, they might not see the number of cases, so they might not see that it's needed, but other districts will embrace that. But most of them that I talk to want that local decision-making authority. They just see it fundamental for this system to work.
And just to clarify, this would be for K-12 districts, not necessarily our colleges and universities, right?
Right, this is a K-12 issue.
Had you given any consideration to doing this through emergency powers? That would still require some legislative input. I guess why go the special session route rather than that?
My legal counsel advises me that because it is fixed into law, that I cannot use my emergency powers to suspend it. And so there's some rules and regulations or deadlines that I can use my emergency powers to suspend. But whenever you're looking at substantive legislation, that is very clear. They would take a legislative enactment to change it. The law. The legislature passed a law that prohibits me from making a statewide mask mandate. There is a law in place that prohibits that. Yes. No, thank you for the question.
State of Arkansas for over a year to the way out of this is vaccination, and you've only got 40% that are vaccinated. So this is in response to not getting us up to 60 or 70%.
We're making a great deal of progress, and you're right. We've got to continue to work on the vaccination to increase that to 60, 70%. It's going to take some time, but we've got to accelerate it between now and the beginning of school. So I'm asking all Arkansans, take time now for the benefit of our school children, the normalcy of life, get a vaccine as well as for your own public health, your own individual health. And that will help us to get through this, simply to get the vaccine. Let's go remotely. I think we might have some questions.
Hi, this is Bailey with 5 News. With 2 weeks left until the school year, you're calling a special session next week. Do you think this will leave enough time for schools to rework their plan?
Well, that's one of the reasons that we have to act quickly on it, because the schools want to know what the ground rules are for their own school district. And so that's why we're going to have to meet fairly soon. And by the way, I'll be working with the legislative leadership to, as we've formalize that call that goes out. And so, yes, they need to know, but they already have the plans in place for this year. They need time to be able to go to the school board if necessary, to make their own assessment of it, to listen to parents in their community, to make a decision. And so we want to do this as quickly possible, but, you know, they're ready to move. They're adaptable. And I have no doubt that they can take the proper steps if the legislature is successful in giving that amendment.
Hi, yep. Governor. This is Samantha with KNWA. You said you're considering allowing schools to decide on masks for themselves. At what point do you allow cities and communities to also have the power to decide this for themselves?
That also would be a legislative decision. That's not on my call because it's different. You know, I thought about higher education. I thought about cities and whether they should have that local option. But the fact is, each one in their city or each one in higher ed, they can get a vaccine. They can protect themselves, and the solution is very easy. And it's important to keep the focus on the vaccines and not on this mask debate. That really is important. And so, but there's a unique environment in the K through 12 schools, particularly among those that are not eligible to be vaccinated. And so I distinguish that, and that's the reason that will be singularly on the call to address that issue with our most vulnerable in that age group. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, it's Brett Rain.
Brett will come right back to you.
Numbers as they are, is there any consideration of possibly postponing the start of school in Arkansas?
No. People are ready for school. They're counting on it. I think we learned from last year that school is absolutely essential for mental health, for not losing progress in education and opportunities for our students. So that is not an option. We're ready for school. The schools learned a lot from last year. Hopefully this will give them some more flexibility. We're ready to go for school. Brett, did you have a question?
Yes, could you talk more about the surge response teams? When will they be in the state? Where will they? And also, if memory serves, at one point the state had a private contract with some hospitals for additional bed space and that sort of thing. Have you given that much more talk with your COVID task force?
All right, very good question. And first of all, the help that's gonna be coming from HHS, actually, that will come with the surge response team. They're going to be looking at our situation, seeing if we've missed anything, giving us some guidance. I am not optimistic that we're going to get actually 100 new medical staffers in here to help us. I wish that was the case, but we're not there yet. And the first thing is going to be some looking at our situation to see how we can better manage our hospital capacity. The second part of it is the request to other states. You've got to realize, as everyone does, that every state is in a similar position. There's a few states that maybe up in the Northeast that's not having to wrestle with the Delta variant. But there's a number of requests out there from other states. So we may or may not get any help from other states with our request for medical staffing assistance. And that's why the latter part is very important in terms of our suspension of any rules that is a barrier to getting healthcare workers back in the profession so they can help. And then you ask about, it's Baptist Health that was good enough to prepare one of their conference centers for a surge capacity. Staffing is the issue, and so we're having to figure out ways to staff even the expansion of bed space that we're trying to create in Arkansas. So we continue to work on that. There's some different options on the table that we're looking at, but that's the answer as to what we expect from these different requests.
Do you know when the surge team will be?
I do not.
I guess switching gears, a judge sort of issued a preliminary injunction on the federal PUA. Kind of what's your response to that?
I was just made aware of that today. I want to study the decision and see what the appropriate action is. Obviously, we want to consult with the Attorney General, and it's my understanding that there will be a quick appeal that will be filed with the Arkansas Supreme Court. But we will await that, and I don't have any other specific guidance on that at this time.
Any reaction to the CDC's guidance from earlier in the week about suggesting that even vaccinated folks start wearing masks again.
That's guidance that everybody should look at, make your decision about how that impacts you. Yesterday I was in a more confined environment and everybody there had a mask on because it was an interior and nobody mandated it, nobody suggested it, they just all came with masks on. So obviously people need to look at that and make their decision. Dr. Romero and I talked right before today and we will be looking at our own guidance, not mandates, but guidance that we have to see if we need to make any changes in light of the new CDC guidance.
The state prisons are allowed, you know, they have an exemption from Act 1002, but county jails don't have an exemption. Is that something you're going to try to address?
That's again, county jails, they have vaccines available to them. Inmates can be vaccinated, the staff can be vaccinated. And so again, there's a distinction between that particular element and the most vulnerable that cannot be protected at this time.
Are there any populations or businesses in the state right now that you're concerned that are hotspots?
No, and I will invite Dr. Romero if he has any comment there, but I think everybody is really managing well. Our hospitality industry have learned to be safe and work through this. The customers know what to do to protect themselves. And of course, we have a higher level of vaccination, and even though it's not as high as we want, it still makes a big, big difference. So, I think they're doing very, very well in the businesses, and I've encouraged them to do everything they can to get vaccinations among their employees, and they're taking those steps. Y'all have been good today. I think that covers it. Thank you all very much.